We have a scripture reading this morning. It's Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. So if you'd like to find that in your Bibles, you may. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. And if you would, please stand when you find it, or you can look up on the screen, and we'll have our scripture reading. Acts 1, 4 through 11. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heaven? And this same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. The ascension is something that is probably not covered near as much in sermons and even in song, in the daily life of the church. It's not emphasized near as much as it is important. And so this morning, I really hope to open up your understanding to see the ascension of Christ in a new way, in a way that will help you have more confidence in who you are in Christ, and to understand your present standing in a better way. So what is it that Christ did when he ascended? Well, we know the obvious thing, that is, he went from earth up into heaven, right? That seems to be rather obvious. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." That's kind of a strange passage that nobody preaches on. "Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high," and this is Paul quoting a psalm, "when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men." You see, when Christ died, he sacrificed himself for our sins. When he rose again, he showed his power over sin and death. Right? And he purchased for us eternal life. Because Jesus rose again, we know that we can have life everlasting, because Jesus has power over life. But the ascension is a very, very key part of this whole thing, and that's what we're going to understand this morning. Hebrews 9, 23 through 28 says, "Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these." talking about the Old Testament sacrifices. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. When Christ ascended into heaven, he took his sacrifice of himself on the cross, and he took it into the heavenly tabernacle, and he presented his offering to the Father as a once and for all sacrifice for sin. It says, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Acts 2, 32 through 35 says, and this is Peter speaking at the beginning of at Pentecost. This is his sermon at Pentecost, speaking to the Jewish people and all of those people that were gathered from every nation. Well, not every nation, but many different nations. He said, Peter said, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. And therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So we see that Jesus took his sacrifice for sin. He took it right up into heaven. He presented it to the Father. And what did the Father say? He received the sacrifice. He accepted the sacrifice. And he said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. That should be pretty exciting. If you understand the ramifications of that, our sin is paid for. It's done. It's paid for. Every mistake you've ever made, Christ has already paid the price. And it's already been received. It's already been accepted. The whole thing is over for those who have put their faith in God. The next thing we need to understand is that Christ did not leave his ministry here on earth. He didn't come down and die on the cross and then say to those apostles that were around him, hey, I'm going away. Best of luck to you. He didn't leave us here. What does it say? 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 5. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And Acts 4, 12 says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So we have this reality that Christ has paid for sin. He has been sacrificed for sin once and for all. When somebody comes to to faith in Christ, right? Christ is not re-sacrificed on the cross. That has been paid. It's done. Sin is accomplished. It's defeated. It's over. The Father has accepted it. But here's the problem. The sacrifice is, but we're still sinners, right? We're still standing over here in our sin. And we can't get there on our own. And so we have this mediator, Christ. It's kind of like, imagine pulling something hot out of the oven, right? Those delicious cookies that you want, right? You can't just reach in there and grab the pan and pull them out. Now, some of you might do that, and that's kind of crazy, but let's pretend you can't. We could use a different example, right? Something much hotter. We need a mediator. We need a go-between, a potholder, right? Something that will allow us to be able to come into the presence of God, and that is Christ. And the church is the body of Christ. By faith, we enter into and become part of the church, the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is the mediator between us and God. And it's like a shield that allows us to come into the presence of God and be accepted and not to be consumed and destroyed by the awesome power of God. And so Christ is our accepted sacrifice. He's also our mediator by which we come into the presence of God. And he is also our high priest. Hebrews 7:25 through 28 says, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives, to make intercession for them. Jesus is up in heaven. You know what he's excited about? I'd say when he gets up in the morning, but he doesn't really get up in the morning, right? But you know what he's excited about? He's excited about you praying to him, asking for guidance, asking for help. He's excited about going to the Father and interceding on your behalf. He is our high priest. And he lives to make intercession for you. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless. And this harmless does not mean harmless as in dainty. This means harmless as in innocent. He is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's, talking about the Old Testament sacrificial system. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness. But the word of the oath that Christ took, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. And so we have Christ, the perfect sacrifice, who is our high priest, who is living to make intercession for us. And Hebrews 4 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, when you're going through struggles in life, when you don't know what to do, and when you say, I need help, you don't have to go to a man. You don't have to go to somebody and say, hey, please pray to me, or please pray to God for me. Please accept these sacrifices that I have in order to appease God. You don't have to come to your pastor and say, Pastor, I need help. I need God in my life. I need to repent of my sins. Now, it doesn't hurt to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. Right? James talks about confessing your sins to another. But here's the important thing for us to remember. We have direct access to the Creator of the world. He is our high priest. He is there for us, making intercession. He lives to make intercession for you. And He passed through the heavens. He went up into heaven. He is accepted. He has direct access to the Father. And so therefore, we can come boldly through the throne of grace. Why? Because we deserve it? Because we're worth it? No. But because the righteousness that we have obtained through Christ is worth it. It has earned the right to stand in the presence of God, and we are clothed with that righteousness, and therefore we have that same confidence. And you can say, Pastor, but I'm a sinner. Satan is always reminding me of these things that I've done in the past that says, oh no, you can't stand before God. Right? We all know that game. Satan is going to pull out all those old lies. Oh, you're a horrible person. Yeah, I am a horrible person. But I'm a horrible person who has been redeemed. I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And He is my mediator. When I go to God, He doesn't see me and all my past sins. He sees His Son, whom He loves, whom He has given this whole world over to. All authority has been given to Christ. And He is on our side. He's our lawyer. He's our representative. Now, I want you to understand something. Some churches teach that the bread and wine become the actual body and blood of Christ. And we do not accept that idea. And the reason we don't accept that idea is because Christ led captivity captive. He ascended into heaven and He took His sacrifice up into heaven, and it's been approved, and it is there, and it is sufficient. We don't need to bring Him back down in order to be covered by His blood and partake of that sacrifice over and over again. Christ has already been sacrificed. The penalty has already been paid. It's already been approved. It's already been accepted. The sacrifice remains in heaven. Dr. Gerald Bray says it this way. In the life of the Christian church, it is not so much a case of God coming down to earth as of us going up to heaven. You see that we are integrated into this heavenly fellowship. The eternal reality of God and of Christ, who is pleading for you and for me at the right hand of the Father now. This is the present reality, and we want to insist that the ascension has made a difference. The ascension of Christ makes all the difference. And there's one other very important part. And that is that Christ gave gifts to men. Ephesians 4:8 says, therefore, Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. In Acts 2, 1 through 12, we see the beginning of the outworking of that, right? Jesus said, wait here until you receive the Holy Spirit. And that was the day of Pentecost. Acts 2 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them in his own language. And then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all of these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those who were dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia. How would you like to be from Pamphylia? Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this be? God gave us the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus says, I must ascend into heaven, and I will send to you the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And we see that the church is then born. Acts 2, 40 through 47, after Peter preaches, says, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And the fear of God came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. And so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So Christ has brought us up into heavenly fellowship with God. We now have communion with God in heaven. And our hope is no longer here on this earth. Our hope is in heaven. Our home is in heaven. Right? That's what we were singing this morning. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through here on my way to home. And while I'm here, God has given me this body to be a part of, the church. And he has given us gifts so that we can minister to one another and to encourage people, to encourage one another as we see the day approaching. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Before Christ ascended into heaven, where he stands today as our mediator, our high priest, he said, go into the world and make disciples. And that means you. He gave you the Great Commission as a follower of Him to take your eyes off of yourself, to take your mind off of your problems, and to reach out to your brother in love and to say, hey, I want to tell you about this guy, this awesome, amazing guy named Jesus. And we want to help you with that. And so we want to hand out some cards by which you can use to invite people to come to church and to partake of this fellowship with us. The fellowship of the Christian Brotherhood. The fellowship up into heaven with God in Christ. And so we're going to pass out some cards at this time for you. And I would like to ask a quick question. Who is willing, in obedience to the Great Commission, to pass out some cards of invitation to people to invite them to church? And I would like to just quick raise your hand. Okay? Whoever's got their hand raised, give them some cards. Keep your hands up, please, so that way we can see. Alan, you missed one. Okay, anybody else? Everybody got one? Okay, great. Now, next week, I'm going to ask you if you got your cards passed out. You got five cards, only five, and I'm going to ask you how that went, okay? Let us close in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, what an amazing thing to learn about this morning, the ascension of Christ and all that it accomplished in our daily life. Lord, not only do we have the understanding that you have died on the cross for our sins, but Lord, we also have the understanding that because of the resurrection, we now have the confidence, a living hope that when we die, we also will live just as Jesus promised. But Lord, now we see in the ascension that you have already accomplished our victory over sin. The sacrifice has been accepted. The court case is over. And Lord, now it is up to us to come to the mediator, through the mediator, to you. Lord, we have everything that we need for life and godliness. And all that we need to do is come to you in faith, repent of our sins, turn away from our wicked ways, and to follow you into life everlasting. Lord, I pray that each person would do that here this morning. If they have not, I pray that they would just simply reach out to you in their heart of hearts and ask you to forgive them of their sins, to apply that payment to their own account. Lord, that you would be their God, and that they would serve you with the life that they have. Lord, it is not easy, but it is simple. What you have accomplished for us was of great cost to you, but of great value to us. So, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to even participate in this ministry of reconciling the world to yourself. That we can be a part of that is an amazing thing. And Lord, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.